5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. This is where we take a little break from the madness and get into more madness, which is the trending stories nationally throughout, throughout the sports world. So we're going to get to that here. We got the big deal going on with the Big Ten. There we go. A little mood music to set the tone there on Gel. Big Ten lands a $7 billion NFL-style contract. Starting in 2024, Big Ten football Saturdays will be structured similar to the NFL, with three marquee games in consecutive time slots on three major TV networks. So Fox, CBS, NBC, $7 billion media rights deal, will string the conference's top football games across three major networks each week. The deal set to go in effect in 2023 will expire in 2030, which is what you're supposed to do, sign a seven-year deal, Pac-12, right? And eventually will allow the conference's soon-to-be 16-member universities to share more than $1 billion per year, pushing the total value of the agreement past $7 billion, according to the Associated Press. What does this mean for you, Angel? What does this mean for the SEC? Now, they have a deal with ESPN, but we saw some games on some of those networks randomly, right?
Yeah, so the SEC, CBS will normally have their kind of select pick of games when the schedule gets released. Yeah. They can go, oh, we want, you know, Bama Auburn or Bama A&M, anything like that. And growing up, it was always SEC on CBS. Like 1:30 game, it was always an SEC team. And now seeing it with the Big Ten in there, it's a little weird.
Are you gonna have? Is that gonna be a possibility then? Because it sounds like, from what I'm understanding, you're gonna have a morning game, an afternoon game, and then a night game, perhaps.
Right.
And that would be it, and it'd be your Big Ten.
Yeah, it looks like, I don't know what Fox is doing, but it looks like ESPN, CBS are trying to just take over Saturdays, which, you know, if it makes it easier to find a game to watch, I guess. But I know there's going to be schools and fans of those schools that maybe don't get as much national attention anymore.
I know. The monopoly there, right? Should be. And again, I don't know the structure yet. The structure hasn't been released, at least that I've seen just yet. But we'll keep our eyes out for it. Green Bay Packers young wide receivers decided to go meet with Aaron Rodgers after he threw them all under the bus and said, if you don't catch the ball, you won't play. I mean, he was frustrated with the group. They were instructed to report to the quarterback meeting room at 8:45 Wednesday morning. When they arrived, they found all three quarterbacks plus the key members of the offensive coaching staff who worked directly on the passing game. Rodgers did not call the meeting. He spoke extensively during the meeting, though. And he said, one of the rookie receivers said, hey, it was just to give us good advice, letting us know that the Packers receiving corps has always been held to a super high standard. All the legends who have been through here, it's just about us carrying on that standard and stepping up. Aaron spoke to the team about what he likes or what he doesn't like, basically. And they got reprimanded again, essentially. Like, he calls them out, throws them under the bus. They come in to talk to him. They were told to go talk to him. I'm guessing the offensive, Matt LeFleur, probably had them all go meet, say, clear the air. But I don't know if it was clearing of the air. I think it was more of, you need to be better, guys. Okay?
Sounds like that group of kids in school that get, the teacher has to take like three or four of them out in the hallway, and the whole class is like, ooh.
Yeah. Yes, you got called
to the
teacher's
trouble.
Office.
You got to talk to Aaron.
Oh, man. And they got to live up to Davante Adams here. So
I mean, that's not really fair.
No.
But also, like, Aaron, chill.
So we're talking about Russell Wilson not bucking up to the defense yesterday when they were bullying them. There's a lot of different styles of leadership here. Aaron Rodgers would certainly buck up. He bucks up to his own team. But I guess it just depends on what kind of leader you want. He's going to be hard on guys. Russell's going to encourage. Rodgers going to call him out.
He's going to give him some of that tea.
Yeah. Whatever that was, the psychedelic
Mystic
stuff.
Mystic journey.
Maybe
drink.
They should go have some of that. And then they would become one with their quarterback. This story's weird. I don't know. NCAA officials sent a letter to its membership Thursday noting its enforcement staff's pursuit of potential violations of the name, image, and likeness compensation policy and emphasizing the need for schools to help investigations. Under the table stuff, and they want the schools to be on the lookout for that?
Under the table stuff in a system that's not really regulated?
Yeah, that's always...
Where is the table
so
we know not to go under it?
It's always under the table. All of college sports has been under the table, man. I mean, so many deals. Well before NIL stuff was happening, NIL stuff was happening. So, and now we're like, oh, these violations are bad. We need to be investigating them. Why do you think the NCAA is stepping up and doing something about it now? Where was this when the Reggie Bush days were going down? Now, again, that all got found out and punishments were doled out. But where's the NCAA stepping up 10 years ago saying, hey, we need our member schools to ramp up the investigations here on the NIL stuff? When it was happening then, but players weren't actively making money on it. They weren't all over the table making money on it now. Now they are. And again, the NCAA absolutely hates this. They hate NIL. Any representatives of colleges like Learfield, they hate NIL stuff because it takes away from their bottom line. I have some great stories on this that I probably won't go into because I shouldn't. But where were they 10 years ago with this? You're a big college guy. You know there's shady stuff going on.
Oh, yes. I mean, and we're only, what, a year and a little over a year into this NIL stuff, and it seemed to have settled down for a little bit. If this is the NCAA trying to rile things back up, maybe, oh, it's quiet right now. We can jump in and try to take, you know, some charge over this, but it's interesting. It's the wild, wild west out there.
An email came from Stan Wilcox, the NCAA Executive Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, and John Duncan, the VP of Enforcement. The email said the NCAA's enforcement staff is actively investigating potential abuses of NIL transactions and will allege any substantiated concerns as soon as possible. I'm pretty passionate about the NIL stuff. However, I know that it's being abused. I get that. I know it's being abused. I want it to be regulated. But the NCAA, and I'll say it a million times over, Angel, the NCAA should have stepped up 20, 30 years ago, because this is what a good leader would see. This is potentially stuff that's going to happen. When they had the whole Jeremy Bloom thing out of CU when he was in the Olympics, when they had the video game deal where players were suing and fighting over naming rights, the NCAA right then should have said, this is going to come to a head at some point. We should start creating our own NIL system now. And it was too late. Now it is the wild, wild west. These players are going out doing stuff individually. It is a topic of conversation. We utilize NIL here with radio programming, and we love it. Can it be abused? Yes. But if the NCAA would have got ahead of this years ago, maybe they could control this thing in-house. But they can't. They can't control it.
And with the massive shift of conference realignment and the way that the TV deals are shaping out, is college football is going through a transition period. And this NIL is a part of it, and the NCAA might be falling behind a little bit, trying to, you know, if we're going to be the managing organization of college athletics, yeah, we're kind of behind on the biggest one right now.
Mysterio texts in, says, 10 years ago, they were laughing all the way to the bank, cashing checks, using athletes' personas, and that's the truth. And that's why it's so disgusting, because now they're coming out saying, we got to investigate these things, because it's affecting their freaking wallets. And I know that to be a fact. We have dealt with some of this stuff. And again, I'm not going to put myself in a rough position here. But they don't like it. They don't like the NIL stuff. Now, do coaches and stuff, coaches I've dealt with certainly are supportive. You know, they're like, yeah, it's fine. You know, I always like to clear it and just let people know what we're thinking of doing, what athlete we're focusing on. We're going to be having the Clay Millen show on Monday. That is an NIL deal, folks. So we have certainly stepped into those waters. But you're right, Mysterio. This wasn't an issue last, you know, 10 years ago. Now that these players, and do I agree with all of this stuff? No, I don't think that these college players should be getting crazy money like that. But again, it is kind of a free market situation. So I guess I shouldn't say the word I don't agree. I do think it's just a little strange that these businesses will fork over millions of dollars to these unproven athletes. Mysterio says, can coaches take NIL deals? I don't think so.
They're pretty set with their contracts.
I mean, I think they can take marketing deals, sure. And I guess, is that name, image, and like, probably yes. I mean, you're right. They're set. But what is Geico? Isn't it Geico or Aflac? Nick Saban does Aflac. Isn't that essentially an NIL deal?
I think, but with coaches, they're more employees.
They are employees,
so
it's
athlete.
I don't think they call it NIL. I don't think they have to disclose it. I'm sure there's stuff in their contracts, like you can't be with a competing company necessarily. They are probably actually held to stricter policies because they are an employee of the school, but they obviously get to go out and do commercials. I mean, Deion Sanders and Nick Saban were both in those Aflac commercials. I don't think that's happening anytime soon, or have we seen one new? But coaches do market themselves through that, so I guess in a form, it is an NIL deal. It is a name, image, and likeness type deal. But they're employees. They're held. I mean, coaches can do whatever the hell they want. They can, before the transfer portal, it was just coaches that could leave. And we got mad when a kid transferred, and we still get mad. And it's like, wait, Mel Tucker can leave while lying to us all on Twitter, saying, oh, I'm all the rumors, man, I'm a buff. I love this charity event that I'm at right now, that talking to the donors. And that, all the while, he's getting his contract signed and combed over while he's doing this. And then he just leaves. And now Michigan State's better for it, but it left CU in shambles. And that was just well and good with the NCAA. Again, it's a double standard in this. And I love college football, I do, but you don't have a governing body like the NFL. You do have the Wild Wild West. There are NIL deals left and right. There are, you know, the transfer portal is absolutely crazy. They needed some foresight in this years ago to see the bumps in the road that would come up from NIL, from transfers, because it wasn't fair to these players. I get, Brady, they got a college education. Blah, blah, blah. They're playing football for you, earning money for you. Some of these kids don't even use their college education after. And I get it. I'm not devaluing a degree. I think that they're important, you know, if that's your cup of tea. But it's not everybody's cup of tea. They just want to play football. And that's why I said, man, watch out. At some point, this thing's just going to become their employees. You're paying your quarterback. You're just paying them. And I'm not sure I'm there. I'm not. I like the fact that they can go out and earn. That's great. But it is a strange situation. And again, the biggest issue with all of this came back with the, I always want to call him Orlando Bloom, Jeremy Bloom, when he was not, it wasn't even for CU. He was an Olympic skier and wanted to make money, because that's how Olympians make money, is endorsements and sponsorships. He was not allowed to make any money. So that time in his life where he was an Olympian, only so many people can be Olympians, and for so long, he didn't get to benefit from that financially. Now, maybe he did afterward and stuff when he got out of school, but I just think that it's absolutely crazy. It's insane. Mysterio texting in. Soon is going to be renamed the SPAA, Semi-Professional Athletic Association.
Got a nice ring to it.
I think that that's certainly something in the future. I want Dixon as the commissioner.
League might plummet very quickly.
Man, bad stuff's going on there. If Dixon's involved, that bad stuff, terrible stuff is happening. I just felt like there was ways to get around this and make it beneficial to everybody. All right, full disclosure time. We're working with Clay Millen, CSU quarterback. Great guy. He has an NIL deal with Ent Credit Union. Who are they a big competitor of, right? Little thing that rhymes with Schmanvis Stadium. Canvas is a big time CSU person. And Clay is a free agent promoting Ent on his own. Now, he can't put any Ent stuff on while he's at CSU. He can't wear any CSU stuff while he's at Ent. He's just the quarterback. That's what it's going to be. It won't be a full Colorado State quarter. You'll hear our ads and stuff. You know, we got to be careful with everything. But it's that kind of stuff they don't like. And I have friends at Canvas, so I'm not like, it's the business of the situation, and I'm just talking about it from that standpoint. But you think Canvas loves the fact that star players can go out and make deals with their competitors, and they're promoting almost against the college, the football team, the football program? And if you're a business owner, if you're working with Canvas, are you happy about that deal? Because you're looking at going, all right, yeah, we get Canvas Stadium, and it's huge, and a lot of people are hopefully going to be there, and we're a big part of CSU. These players, the more deals they sign with your competitors, it's kind of the branching out. You're bringing viewers away from some of the stuff you do. there is a coach's show that's not on this station talking CSU. We don't have rights to do that, so we can't. But we can go talk to the players about doing individual deals, and then they can in turn promote perhaps the big competitors that are working with Learfield and CSU. Can tell I'm a big Learfield fan, right? So it's fascinating to me. Just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, that's the impact of the free market. You know, capitalism, not to get political, but your competition is going to do what it takes to get their business up and running. You have your name on the stadium. That's a pretty big deal. And, you know, if one player is promoting another company, is it out of how many players are on the team that have an opportunity to get NIL deals? How much of an impact are you really seeing?
Yeah. Well, okay, here's maybe a better example, not to take anything away from Clay, but first round pick, David Roddy, worked with him as well. He worked with us. We did the David Roddy show. Missed it already. Crazy Carl's Pizza. And they work with CSU as well, so it's a win-win for them. But also did a lot of things with David. And David packs the punch, right? I mean, we knew what he was going to be. We knew he was going to be an NBA player. I'm the only one that said he was going first round, by the way. You're welcome, everybody. You knew that guy was big time. And you don't think that some of those competing businesses wanted to get on board with not just the show, which was the most amazing thing in the history of the world, but him personally, like individually. Because, again, Clay and David, these guys, they're going and doing photo shoots and signings, and they're getting bobbleheads, and they're doing all this fun marketing stuff that is bigger than just Twitter and bigger than just the radio show, too. I mean, it's a lot of unique things. I just think it's so funny. It's, you know, like, we need to investigate this now. These deals are getting out of control. It's funny. It's crazy. All right, I want to get to this story next. We'll talk about it on the other side. We took the lunch rush a little long today, Angel. Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson suspended 11 games, fined $5 million. I should have asked you if you could get some clips for me on this, because I felt like the Cleveland GM was saying something different than what Deshaun Watson was saying. Deshaun Watson is still claiming and fighting for his innocence. He's still saying he's innocent. They're talking about second chances with him. They're saying, we believe everybody needs a second chance. But if you didn't do anything, then what's just getting a second chance for? I just, the whole system, the whole setup yesterday was weird, man. And again, Deshaun is saying, for everyone that was affected by the situation, there were a lot of people that were triggered. He went on to talk about, hey, I still don't believe I didn't do any of those things, but maybe somebody was offended by the way I acted or something. I don't know. And again, this is a very, very deep situation. We'll talk about it on the other side. 12:23 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's more high school football training camp coverage as we focus on the Severance Silver Knights, presented by Severance Days. Tune in at 5 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Shout out to Cable's Pub and Grill. It is Friday. We're in the afternoon time. It's a great opportunity to jump out and get to Cable's. Grab lunch, man. They have so many great specials, so many great deals happening throughout the day. And, man, haven't had a bad bit of food from that menu at Cable's Pub and Grill. All right, the NFL and the NFL Players Association on Thursday reached the settlement in the Deshaun Watson disciplinary matter, agreeing that the Browns quarterback will serve an 11-game suspension. So the owners, we think, wanted a year, but okay, let's go here first. Did the NFL at least keep the NFLPA at bay by settling here? Yeah, they all settled, and the NFL wanted more. What was it originally, six games?
Yeah, so the recommendation was 6 games.
Yeah.
The league wanted a full year. And I guess the settlement, they went right in between it and put, it's technically 12 weeks, but 11 total games, including the bye week.
Who are the Browns playing when he comes back? Have you seen it?
I believe it's the Houston Texans. Houston.
Is that on purpose? I mean, come on. How do we not look at that and say, really?
That was my initial reaction because the Browns do play the Dolphins, so I was, of course, interested in this, and they don't have to play Deshaun. But coming back against Houston, where all of this started, it looks awful. It looks kind of fixed, maybe.
Why would you not just wait another week or go? And again, I'm just purely talking about how the optics of this. Go 10 games then. Go 12 games
11
then.
11 is such a weird number.
Why 11, and why is the first game back? I mean, it's already on the schedule. I get that. But he's going to come back that. And is this game going to be, I don't know if it'll be nationally televised because it's Cleveland
and Houston.
It'll be the
national story.
But it will be a story. Somebody's going to pick this up. And you think one of the networks is going to flex this game into their coverage?
I wouldn't be shocked if it was like sitting at like 11 o'clock, if it got moved to a mid-afternoon.
Wow.
Maybe on like Fox or something. It's a little weird.
So, again, we're trying to look at this and go, oh, Roger Goodell and the NFL are trying to do the right thing. First game back's against Houston. You knew that was there.
Coming from a journalist perspective, you get it like, oh, that's going to be the biggest story. The most eyes are going to be on that game, that situation all week long. From the public opinion, it's a little fishy.
It's a little fishy for sure. Watson's fine and contributions from both the NFL and Browns of $1 million each will create a fund to support non-profit organizations in the United States that educate young people on healthy relationships, promote education and prevention of sexual misconduct and assault, support survivors and related causes. Optics of that reads wrong, too. Because what, at the end of the day, is still happening for Deshaun? He's still playing. And We have these lengthy debates on this. Like I said, I think it should be black or white. Black and white. I think the NFL should either go throw the book at him, or you can't meddle in anything if the guy's not actually charged. And that's why I think you open this crap up. Does that do it for you? Sexual assault victims? Does that do it for you? Does that make it okay to see Deshaun Watson run out of the tunnel on that first Sunday back against Houston? Still making his, 46? So I don't know what it is. It's a lot. Does that do it for you? That $2 million thrown to educate young people on how bad sexual assault and misconduct and all that stuff is? I can't imagine.
Oh, $1 million. Okay. That cures everything.
He'll be back for the Texans. I think that's weird. What I think is weird about this whole situation is the owners and Deshaun Watson's comments are not sinking here. D. Haslam, Jimmy Haslam are saying one thing. Deshaun's saying another thing. He is still upholding his innocence. I apologize once again for any pain this situation has caused, Deshaun Watson told ESPN. I take accountability for the decisions I made. My focus going forward is on working to become the best version of myself. I'm excited about what the future holds for me in Cleveland. I'll continue to stand on my innocence. Just because you know settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like a person has an opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that. And we proved that from a legal side, and just going to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person. So he's still claiming his innocence. However, he is apologizing for his decisions. So again, if I'm playing devil's advocate from his side, is he basically saying, yeah, I probably did inappropriate things, but it wasn't sexual misconduct? I mean, was I a jerk? Did I make them feel intimidated? But I didn't mean to be a sexual assault type. I mean, again, that's just what I'm reading between the lines when I read his comments.
It really doesn't. It doesn't click together. Those sentences don't fit. And
it's
the statement
such a
he put out,
deal.
He had said that in a press conference. He had put out a statement like 30 minutes before that was completely different from what he was talking about.
What was he saying there? Was he saying that he was sorry for what he did again? Or okay, you search into that. He apologized to all the women. So anybody that was affected, he said. He clarified whether his past apologies were specifically to the women who made allegations against him. And he said he apologized to the women that and anybody that was affected. Browns co-owner D. Haslam was asked about Watson's comments about his innocence. Because, and she goes, we respect his opinion, I do think in counseling, Deshaun will learn a lot about himself. That is her saying, isn't that, if you read between the lines, isn't that more or less her saying, hey, that's fun that he says that, but I think he's going to learn a lot more about himself. He's going to learn what he actually did was wrong. It's just a very inconsistent message, and you need to be so on top of how you're going to reach out. Hell, dude. Now, and then you have Jimmy Haslam coming out saying, you know, the other co-owner, I think in this country, and hopefully in the world, people deserve second chances. I really think that. Is he never supposed to play again? Is he never supposed to be a part of society? Does he get no chance to rehabilitate himself? That's end quote. Do you not believe your quarterback then? Do you think he's lying to you? That's what it sounds like. And yet, you're also saying he's getting a second chance. From what? Deshaun doesn't think he did it. He's saying he didn't do it. Yet the owners are both saying he needs counseling. He's going to learn the error of his ways through counseling. They didn't say that, but that's what I'm reading between. That he is going to be rehabilitated. From what? If I'm Deshaun Watson, and if Deshaun Watson didn't do this, Angel, if he really didn't do the stuff that he was accused of, wouldn't you then go to these guys and say, what am I being rehabilitated from? I didn't do anything. Maybe I made it awkward for them or uncomfortable, but I didn't sexually assault anybody. So what am I being rehabilitated for? This is a weird deal. This is one of the most bizarre stories ever when it comes to sports.
I think up front, the initial thing would maybe just, maybe he's just a little relieved that this is over with, and he's just at the point where, let me do whatever I need to do to get done, to pass the eye test or whatever, to get back on the field and play the sport he wants to play. And I get that. But the tone-deaf statement from the owners, comparing this to a Kareem Hunt situation, which is completely different.
What did Jimmy say?
He said, that's what we're going to do. We gave Kareem Hunt a second chance, and that worked out pretty well.
What does that even mean? I mean, I get it. Second chances, all that stuff, because what Kareem Hunt did was a pretty bad deal too, right? He just get in a fight? Is that what it was?
It was a domestic violence situation.
Okay. So it was bad deal. We gave Kareem Hunt a second chance. Look at that. I thought that's
It goes
wrong.
Back to, it's kind of just, oh, yeah, whatever, he did this, but look how great of a football player he could be.
Well, then he talked about the quarterback thing, and is he never supposed to play again? Well, I don't know about that, but he's not even getting a year. He got 11 games, and your first game back is against your old team to make the drama. Like, last year, Cleveland versus Houston, maybe before Deshaun Watson won it out of Houston, that game doesn't matter. Cleveland's whatever. Houston's terrible. Nobody cares about that game. Suddenly this game, if it's on, you know you're going to watch to see how the fans react, if anything. If you don't care about the game.
We saw how Jacksonville fans reacted. Yes. I can't imagine what Houston fans are going
to
do.
Oh, my goodness. And you know that's, I'm sorry to say it, and I hope I'm not being callous and a jerk, but you know that's must-see TV, right?
As a sports fan, as a reporter, as a journalist, you're interested in it.
It's historic. He's going against his team that he wanted out of, in the same area that he allegedly did all these things.
Is this an attempt by the NFL to put closure on this situation?
By blowing it up?
By having him come back to Houston, blah, 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 hoopla, he's back. Maybe they win, maybe they lose. It doesn't really matter because the Cleveland Browns will be out at that point probably. So it's the NFL saying, okay, we close the book on this Deshaun Watson-Houston drama. Let's move forward.
It's not a bad thought. You blow it up and just get it out of the way early, and it's the worst he's going to... Because the worst he's going to hear it is in Houston, right? You would think. You know there's going to be protesters out there, and it's going to be a political affair, all of this stuff. And it's just bizarre.
How do Cleveland fans respond to this?
How do you feel if you're a Cleveland fan about this? I mean, seriously,
they are the lowest in terms of success, obviously, and they are loyal fans through and through. Can't deny that. But this is a situation where you maybe question, do I really support this team? I feel good about
I didn't
this
want
team.
The Broncos to touch this situation until it came out for – I mean, again, he was found essentially – was he found innocent in this? He settled. And then the rest of the cases that didn't settle, they didn't charge him.
Right.
So he was essentially off.
Legally,
he is clean. He is clear. So if you're a Cleveland fan, do you in a roundabout way go – what if he didn't do it? What if, I mean, did Cleveland signed him so long ago? Did they know something that we didn't?
That was question when he did sign. If Cleveland had an inside track, oh, maybe the suspension will be this. Let's go ahead and sign him.
There's no chance that he's innocent, right? I mean, is there? Is there a part of your brain that goes there and goes, he's still maintaining this even after all of it? He doesn't have to anymore. Is there a part of you that thinks that maybe he did something silly with all these masseuses, but it wasn't sexual misconduct?
Maybe at first a little bit, but as the situation has just dragged on the last almost 2 years now, there's a lot of smoke, there's a little fire going. You got to wonder.
Was it 24 women?
I think it was like close to 26.
Was it 26?
At one point.
It's just crazy, man. And then again, the Haslams aren't helping with this situation. Jimmy and D. Haslam both saying complete opposite of what Deshaun. Now, they're saying it without saying it. You know, we're going to rehabilitate this guy. I think he deserves a second chance. If he didn't do this stuff, then what's the second chance stemming from? Absolutely bizarre. Just the whole thing, man. The saga continues. How will it end? I mean, next year, do we start watching the games and you just kind of know, oh, yeah, Deshaun did that stuff, but it's over now.
I mean, I just think, you know, how long did it take Ben Roethlisberger to get past his issues? Was it winning a Super Bowl?
His was, we got past it, didn't we? I mean,
It's still there. Every time you talk about Ben Roethlisberger, but
it's part of it.
You won a Super Bowl, so it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, again,
at the end of the day, in the NFL, you win. Things can just get pushed under.
People get distracted by the NFL, by the shield. Last one on this. Roger Goodell said in a statement, "Deshaun is committed to doing the hard work on himself that is necessary for his return to the NFL. This settlement requires compliance with a professional evaluation and treatment plan, a significant fine, and a more substantial suspension. We are grateful to Judge Robinson and Peter Harvey for their efforts in addressing these matters, which laid the foundation for reaching this conclusion." Did the NFL win in this thing or lose? Was 11 games and a $5 million fine enough?
I think they lost. With the way this whole thing has gone down and the way it's going to end in Houston, I don't like the way it's wrapped up. I don't think the optics, everyone's going to watch this game. Everyone's going to pay attention to this story, but not for the good reason.
It all looks bad. All of it. Mysterio says, should have been fined for every case. $1 million. I mean, that, like, $1 million for every case. I mean, that is, again, just to wrap this whole thing up, we're going to be talking about it more, but this is why the NFL is so screwed in this situation. Because of the way they've handled things in the past. It is not black and white with them. It is certain instances. We feel like you're going to get 6 games. You might get 12 games. You might get 4 games. You might get a year. In this case, you believe he did it, correct? Is it fair to say Roger Goodell and the owners believe that Deshaun Watson did these things?
Yes.
Can we conclude that? So you believe he did these things. And it's only worth 11 games and $5 million of his. Did he sign a 46? Was it 46? Am I
right? Yeah, 46.
That's the number that's coming out. I've always said this. If you want to find guys, $5 million to $46 million isn't much. And who knows what the settlements were. But you're saying you believe that he did these things. He needs to be rehabilitated. He needs a second chance.
And even the NFLPA, they may or may not believe it. But they have to do their job as representatives of the players and their best interest.
What a weird deal. 12:44 at the time. Way due for a break here. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday out there in Northern Colorado, whatever it is you've got planned. Maybe you're going to hang out with Clark Johnson tonight. Tune in for kind of a severance special 1313. Kind of a scrimmage, but Clark's going to be talking to coaches and players throughout there. I love what he's been doing with this. We've been doing 13 days, 13 teams for years. It is an opportunity to learn about all these high school teams, and they're all podcasted. They're all available now at 1310kfk.com. So if you're listening to this show and you're a high school football fan, you got a team that you like in the area, yeah, you got a shot that their team was covered by Clark. Maybe if you're the couple of those oddballs that we didn't get to. Not to say you're an oddball, but this is what it is. And you didn't get there. Maybe we'll get there next year. We try to spread it around as much as we can. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Does the loss of Nazem Kadri severely impact the Avalanche's chance of winning back-to-back Stanley Cups? I think, and again, I love Clark. I do. But I think we have to acknowledge that this is an impact. This is going to affect them. He was a great player in the playoffs. He was a good player throughout the season, but he was awesome in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely a loss for just not just the player on the ice, the way he plays, the energy he brings on the ice, but the kind of locker room guy that he was.
Yeah.
And he was, during that Stanley Cup run, he was one of the guys that you're paying attention to. What's Kadri going to do tonight? What kind of impact can he have? Obviously, in the Blues series, huge impact in that one.
If Cale Makar doesn't go on and do crazy things, I mean, you could have made a case for Kadri getting close to being the stud. The guy. 12:50 the time. We got to take a quick break. We got to wrap this hour up. We got the 1 o'clock hour. I got today in the NFL. What are the Bills going to do with their starters tomorrow? Have the Broncos changed their tune a bit? What did Melvin Gordon have to say about where he sits in the depth chart? All that and more coming up next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, live from the Allo Communications Studio. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Maybe you're staying in tonight to watch, not the Rockies, something else. Hang out, man. Just chill out. It's been a great week. You maybe just want to kick the shoes off and relax. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor. And they got the drive-through. You can pop by. You can stop in. They always do their free wine and beer tastings every single Friday. So in a few hours, you can stop by. Try something new. Maybe it'll be your new go-to. Thanks to our friends at On the Rocks Liquor. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day available at theholeshow.com. Will the loss of Nazem Kadri severely impact the Avalanche's chances of winning back-to-back Stanley Cups? Go vote again at theholeshow.com. You know, again, Joe Sakic, I think, has earned a lot of trust, no question. But this is a good player. Good player that made a big impact for you. Much bigger. This is a much bigger loss than Darcy Kemper. Darcy Kemper had his moments for sure, but he wasn't great. And I like the gamble with Alexander Georgiev. I mean, he's as Clark mentioned, he was probably going to be the starter, and then the guy ahead of him just starts rocking, and he was doing great. So you kind of wanted to go with your hot hand. He never lost his job, so. Now, G Money is a part of this Avalanche roster, and he has a shot here. I mean, it's his job. So, that gamble, that exchange, I kind of like. You didn't have to go pay through the moon knowing you have to sign Nathan MacKinnon down the road. So you had to save some money here, and you proved that you could win a cup without an A-list goalie.
Yep, and winning that cup will only help you in signing other players.
Yeah, no.
Because they will realize this is a winning franchise.
It's going to help them probably for the next couple of seasons. It's how this thing goes. I mean, you saw them when the Broncos won their Super Bowl in 50. Even without Peyton Manning, they were still guys were interested in being on this team. Not like the beacon that Manning showed earlier. But Russell Wilson sees this organization as, well, not too long ago, they won a Super Bowl with Peyton. So because of that, I want to be a part of this and know that they can put it together. So the Avs, Joe Sakic, now has that reputation of being a guy that can build a Stanley Cup team. And I'm not going to say an unconventional way, but certainly not in the way we typically talk about with, yeah, stud players, but hot goalie. And they can do it without a hot goalie. So it does make them more attractive.
It works.
Yeah. It does. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Yeah, strange situation going on in Tampa Bay, and I'm going to talk about that more. I mean, what a weird deal. Can you imagine? I mean, just think about it. Nathaniel Hackett doesn't know where Russell Wilson is. Isn't that? Aren't we freaking out in Broncos country today?
It is hard to imagine because no other player could get away with this.
No.
And I don't even know at this point if Tom can get away with it. We're already questioning it.
I don't even know if he, like, is it a serious thing? Is it a personal thing? Because I've heard two different sides that they're calling it a personal matter, but it's not. Is it a death? Is it a sickness? If it is, we all have to be careful here. But if it was, don't you think that something would have been said so that we would avoid all of the drama and the hoopla surrounding Tom Brady? If it was serious, you'd just say it and then move on, and we'd go, oh, he's back when he's back. You know, it's family's more important or health's more important. You would totally understand that. So we'll get to that on the other side. Also, more on the Broncos. I don't really know if it was a scuffle, but it was the defense dominating the day and bullying around the offense. And Russ was kind of just like, you know, we're fine here. Everybody's good. No fights. Let's just be getting along here. Do you want to see a little more feisty guy in Russell? You're not going to see it. You're going to see what you're going to see. You're going to see corny, you know, positive Pete in Russell Wilson, for better or worse. Second hour, third hour. There we go. People give me crap about that. Third hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Today in the NFL on the other side.